What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country. This message must be read in every newspaper, heard on every radio, seen on every television. This message must resound throughout the entire interlink. I want this country to realize that we stand on the edge of oblivion. I want every man, woman, and child to understand how close we are to chaos. I want everyone to remember why they need us.
Who the fuck is with this guy? Who is he?
I'm your huckleberry.
The decision of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq. I mean, of Ukraine.
Everybody knows you never go full retard. You went full retard, man.
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably Tennessee, that says, fool me once. Shame on you. If you fool me, we can't get fooled again.
So you smart, huh?
No.
I thought your hair would be bigger.
It says on your chart, you're fucked up. You talk like a fag, and your shit's all retarded.
So just chill out. You know, drink a 7-Up. Eat a moon pie. Quit murdering people.
You have smoked yourself retarded.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight, and then watch the hair come back up again.
What is your major malfunction, numbnuts?
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And welcome to another Monday Night Master Debaters. You guys are lucky. It's ladies' night by popular demand. We have got three of the best ladies around. But before we get started, we're going to start in true Monday Night Master Debater fashion, in which is usually a disaster. But I'm hoping not so much this time, because I didn't realize that Bud Light had a campaign long before this Dylan trans shit. Do you guys remember this? Now, this is from 1993. And fitting, it says Ladies Night in the background.
Please.
Tonight's ladies' night, and there's a special on Bud Light.
Oh, really?
If you want great taste that won't fill you up and never let you down, make it a Bud Light.
Oh, no, it's Ted from accounting.
So those dudes are dressed to the T in tranny attire. Now, they didn't stop there. This was a whole campaign, apparently. Because then I found another one from 1995 where, let's see, is it this one? Where they did another one just like it. Let's see, here we go. Part two.
Remember, tonight you're playing for Bud Light, lady.
This is a bunch of dudes dressed as women dominating on the pool table for those listening.
Who are you calling, guys?
Yeah.
Looks like you're in the finals.
Ma'am?
For the great taste that won't fill you up and never let you down, make it a Bud Light.
You're the defending ladies' pool champion?
Yes, I am.
Tuesday night.
If that isn't fitting for the bullshit that we're going through today, I don't know what is. So let's welcome these fine ladies, and we'll start with you, Miss Janet from Deplorable Nation. How are you, hon?
Fabulous. And I just want to say thank you for having me back again. And thanks for playing the TransLite commercials, because that just made me feel so much better.
It blew my mind. It's 30 years ago to the year they predicted it. And not only did they have the women dressed like men and getting upset about it, but then they dominate the women's sports. Mm-hmm. And it's like it fits right in with your new T-shirt, Rye.
Yeah, it does. I was gonna say I'm very confident I can beat all three of you ladies up if we fought one-on-one, you know what I mean? Like if we had the fight, I think I could take all three of you guys on, you know what I mean? Like one at a time. So, or basketball,
like a pack of raccoons.
Right. That's what I was gonna say. Is it like the bear versus raccoon? Yeah.
Yeah. Right. No. I mean, it's obviously it's an offensive thing to say. I would never even try to compete in a sport that you ladies were involved in. But I mean, what a fucking clown world we're living in right now.
And we have Miss Emily. Welcome back. How are you?
Hi. Doing well. You know, super excited for the warm weather coming in. But you know, everything's been good in my world, other than like watching, like you said, the clown world completely take over yet again with another agenda that's trying to erase or, you know, dominate a different subset of the culture. So here we are, ladies' night, and we are clearly
we are now real ladies, by the way.
That's right.
Yeah, Rye, we're just gonna have to associate as women our alternate personas tonight.
I can do that. I'll show you guys my tits later if you want.
Nice. Let's get this up on OnlyFans later, guys.
Yeah, that's a hot item right there. And Rosie from Upstate Unconventional, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Thank you, Martha. Thank you for having me tonight.
Very good. I'm so happy to be here. So stoked.
Oh, I love this, honestly. And people, the first one we did, people loved. And I know, Rosie, I don't mean to call you out, but you were hesitant to join because you're like, I don't want to rain on the parade of the, I'm like, it's a whole new cast of ladies, except Miss Janet's coming back. I'm like, please. I'm like, the more the merrier. Because
I love you, ladies' night.
Every now and then, Ryan and I need to be put in our place. And this is fun too. I love it. I don't think anybody else really does it. So why not?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we were talking before the show about not only this stuff, but the new fad, which is the insanity of trans-abled. Now, mm-hmm. it doesn't get much crazier than that. I mean, like the example that I usually use to people about the whole trans thing is like, you know, when my son was like 5, he was into pirates. We weren't going to cut off his arm, his hand, and give him a hook. We weren't going to take out one of his eyes and give him an eye patch. But these fucking trans-abled people, they're going full bore. Mm-hmm.
So no, explain to me what the definition of this is, because this is the first I'm hearing of transabled.
It is trans people that identify as disabled.
So it's trans people. So it's like the transition.
Well, they don't have to be trans.
Well, they're not gender trans.
Well,
trans.
Oh, the ones I've seen have been. How about that?
Go ahead, Emily.
Yeah, no, they think they're disabled. So like one woman, for example, said she always felt like she should be blind. So she had her eyesight removed. And mm-hmm. then there was another person who felt like they identify as being in a wheelchair. So they actually had their knees down removed. And it's
so disturbing.
The only thing that's come from it now is if you shame these people, you become an ableist. Like you're not a racist, you're an ableist. Mm-hmm. That's what people are mm-hmm. saying now when they're saying that they're being targeted by ableist extremists who don't agree with how they want to identify and don't acknowledge how they identify because they're calling it self-inflicted and it's not right.
I just want to know what the hell surgeon is doing these things for these mentally ill people.
Right.
Oh, man. I got to tell you.
It's got to be so much fraud going on, because how the hell would you code that? Like the patient wants their legs removed. There's nothing wrong with them, but they want their legs removed because they think they should be.
They have restless leg syndrome.
Yeah.
I got to tell you real quick. I mean, I myself, I identify as trans taxable. So like I can't be taxed by any, you know, government.
There you go. Yeah.
And you know, I quoted every episode, whether it's my show, whether it's this show, South Park. Okay. Yes. South Park has an episode where this dude that's a Jewish lawyer in the show identifies as a dolphin. And this fucking doctor turns him into a dolphin. Literally. And, you know, I don't know if you guys seen that episode, but there is an there. Like I said, there's an episode in that show that really, you know, kind of like pertains to like anything that
yeah, we what saw. Haven't they hit on, Rye? I mean, I'm just catching up and it's hilarious because, you know, you're looking back 10 years ago. They're hitting on stuff that's been hitting recently and you never thought like they did it satirically. And now it's reality. It's like, what the fuck?
Well, dude, most recently and you know, in season 24 and like I said, I'm working on a big episode that I'm going to do where I'm going to play a bunch of clips and stuff. But there's an episode, the first episode of season 24, where they're trying to figure out how to vaccinate people without them knowing it. And we're seeing that like kind of with like our vegetables and things that you get in the supermarket. And Randy, Stan's dad in the show, he grows weed as his main business, right? And he ends up finding out because he's the guy that fucked a bat. He had sex with a bat that was in China, in Wuhan, that ended up contaminating everyone. And he ends up finding out, since the weed he's growing, he can ejaculate, he can come on this weed, and then people can smoke the weed that he came on, and that will cure them from COVID. So he goes around, he comes on everyone's weed, and it's like, that's how he cures everybody. And it's wild. I mean, like, it's so buffoon, like it's buffoonery shit. But we're also seeing Bill Gates getting heavily invested in, like, you know, putting this film over vegetables that we eat at the grocery store that that are vaccinating us. And now Medicaid and Medicare, you can use that money to buy food. So it's just like it's all coming to fruition, dude. I think it's such a prophetic show in a weird way. And they get away with a lot of really like goofy shit, but it's the Simpsons on steroids, dude. It's predicting everything.
Can I just say I would so much rather have weed with cum on it than ever get the vaccination.
Me I'm too. I'm just saying.
I
totally agree.
I will be the test pig. Yeah.
Well, also because it's natural immunity, right? So it's not even like a vaccine. And he's just spreading his natural immunity. And I think there's a point within itself right there that's stating basically that natural immunity is better. And you don't need this vaccine. You can just smoke cum-laced weed that's going to give you immunity.
Yeah.
And it's got protein added there to it. Is. So there you go.
There it is.
Healthy all the way drugs. Around.
There's your sore throat, right?
So do you get the translabeled now, Rosie?
I get it.
How insane Unfortunately, is that?
It's terrible. So you don't have to be a trans person. You're just transabled. So it could be like just a regular woman, a real woman saying, I don't feel comfortable with this arm. And they take it off. That's sick.
And yeah, you're right. And sends race.
It's done like in a back alley somewhere. I mean, it's like.
Well, if you think about it, the doctors, surgeons, whoever, they're all paid for to manipulate true medicine, right? Mm-hmm. So they've already been incentivized to do sort of the wrong things during COVID. They've been incentivized to promote a vaccine that they don't know anything about and pretend that they do. So it's not a far stretch to find people who are really, really money hungry to perform after hours or in other locations to do certain things that like this for the right dollar amount. I mean, obviously these people are paying out of pocket. It's not coming from insurance or anything like that. So, they can perform anywhere with the right equipment and with the right dollar amount with the right level of moral corruption, right?
Hey, just come to my house. I have lots of tools and I have medical experience. So I would be more than happy to help you.
So here's that woman you were talking about, Janet.
Yep.
Taking your own vision or the process with which you did take your own vision?
I don't have any regrets taking my vision. I believe I should have been born blind and I'm happy the way I am. I do have some regrets about the way I did it, but in the end, I'm happy the way I am.
Dr. Phil, with all due respect to Jewel, but I am having a really hard time sitting so close to someone who traumatized herself, who damaged herself. We took an oath in medicine to help people. We see horrible tragedies every single day as doctors, and people who would give anything to go back and restore their vision, their health. My heart is beating out of my chest. I can't even make sense of the emotions I'm feeling, because to hear someone say, I've always felt I should be blind. Well, I've always felt I should be the Queen of England, but I'm not going out to become the Queen of England.
That's a pretty shitty example, but
yeah. I was going to say, dude, this blind chick is paid by the CIA. You know what
well,
I mean?
And, yeah. And would no you want to see that. Yourself if you were her? I mean, she is morbidly obese and just a disgusting human being.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Like, that's such a... No one
I took my own vision with French fries.
Like, I always think when people go and shoot up schools, I think that these people are paid by the CIA. I think that is a fake... thing. It's on Dr. Phil, right? Dr. Phil, not exactly like the average person, right? It's not like this is some real everyday child.
Yeah.
Little Jerry Springer-esque, rest in peace.
Right, yeah, RIP. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's the GOAT when it comes to this stuff. But it's just like, dude, I bet you similar to who's that damn musician, the black guy playing piano?
Oh, that
narrowed
one?
It down.
Oh, Stevie Wonder.
Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, Stevie Wonder. You guys knew what I was
the
talking about.
The black musician, you know.
Oh, that when one. You throw when
that
you...
one.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah. No, but when people threw shit at him, he would flinch, right? Mm-hmm. That's about as blind as she is. Dude,
well,
I guarantee
that gets us into like Helen Keller.
Right, dude. This is just some fake bullshit.
Oh.
So you don't think that people are batshit nuts enough to do stuff like that?
No, oh, man. People I don't mean, even want to get in fist fights.
There were that's people really that were really that point. Were licking the toilet bowl and eating Tide Pods and just all the dumb shit that people do. And you don't think they
eating
would...
toilet paper?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think anyone would remove their own vision, honestly. I honestly don't. Maybe I have too much faith in humanity, but I don't think that's even fucking real.
Yeah, but people are removing their penises. I mean,
yeah.
And they're removing their penises for like creation of a vagina that doesn't even function.
It doesn't work.
They have no pleasure whatsoever. And they have to dilate it every day. Like
every day. Yeah.
They are so duped into what they're doing. And there's so much regret. Like that Gays Against Groomers. I don't know if you know that website. They show people who are like having trans regret. Mm-hmm. And it's heartbreaking because these people are really manipulated. These people are obviously clearly compromised in terms of like their sense of self-worth and their identity. And they're just trying to find something to cling to, kind of like an anorexic would, or like someone who's trying to find something to define themselves.
Right.
And then they're completely manipulated. And it's encouraged by these people that are, you know, in North Carolina, they're 2 years old. They're allowing parents to start transitioning their kids at 2 years old. And it's like, when you see this type of behavior happening, I mean, it's a system that's so malfunctioned and it's completely intentional.
Well, think too about like the parents who always wanted a little girl, but instead they kept having little boys. That's incentivizing those people to mutilate their children and cause permanent long-lasting damage just to get the little girl they always wanted.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is all parent driven, right? No kid is saying, you know, they may associate with a, you know, a boy may associate with a girl or go through a phase, but they're not going to follow through with it. That's the insanity of the parents pushing them through the process. And that's that whole look at me, you know, I'm so in tune with everything, you know, I'm
hip with the in crowd.
Yep. You know, it's definitely, definitely like Munchausen's by proxy, you know, where they're trying to get attention through their kid. Mm-hmm. And like, it's the worst part about it is like the kid goes along with it because they don't know any different because the parents are teaching it. But I've never seen a person like all of us who are people who see the truth, we're truther people. I've never seen one of us with a trans kid ever. Mm-hmm. Like I've never seen one. They're all very far left extremists, like that liberal mindset that wants to join the community, sit at the cool table, feel special, feel part of a crowd. Mm-hmm. But there is some hope. Like it, actually today, my daughter who's in second grade, she told me, because I've talked with my kids, because they've asked me questions about the trans and what's going on and why men dress as women and why they dance and do this, because I see these things. It's in the, it's just, it's everywhere. They've seen it. And so I've explained to them like what I see about it and why it's wrong and why it's people being manipulated and people who are insecure, you know, whatever. And my daughter said, you know, Mom, I didn't bring it up at school, but at lunch, other kids were talking about how their parents are saying that that's completely wrong. It goes against God. It's driven by inversion. It's not good. And she's like, I was so happy that I'm not the only one who feels that way. Like, we're not alone. And I was like, oh, my goodness. You know,
thank God.
A private school that's affiliated with a church. So that helps. They're in the right community, but at least there's like, it's not the whole generation. You know what I mean? There's people who have the right mindset about them and parents who are teaching their kids correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and that's a problem. I just noticed on my sons, they have like a parent square, it's called, where you can go on there and they post, it's like a message board. And I saw for early June, they have this acceptance day. And thankfully it's a Sunday, and I'm like, cause if they're forcing this on my kid, I am going to principal's office right now and they're going to hear holy hell from me. But it's all about trans acceptance. And it's like, well, why are we catering to this small, small minority and bringing it to young children? Like it's sexualization, it's grooming. Like you talked about before, Emily, it shouldn't matter. To these kids. It doesn't matter to these kids. The only reason it matters is because it's being forced upon them by adults. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they wouldn't know.
Well, that's the thing. The only reason that there is this label is for people to identify themselves for who they like to have sex with or what they like to do. Mm-hmm. So there's no reason, like even for just being gay or lesbian, there's no reason to bring that into the kindergarten classroom. There's no reason for a teacher to say, I am a lesbian and this is what I do. And like,
yeah,
there's
but no Emily, reason. What, who is mostly pushing it? It's men that are women that are pushing it on young kids. And that's the sickest part. You don't see as much on the female side that they're so out there. Yeah. There's lesbian teachers, but they're not out there pushing it on the kids as much.
Or dancing with their legs spread open, you know,
exactly.
With nothing on in high heels. It's disgusting.
Yeah, exactly. Or swinging a big cock around, you know, in a whirly bird or something. You know, they're not doing this stuff. But the guys have to go in there dressed in skirts, mini skirts, and all this shit. And there was a great video I saw the other day of some, I don't know, he's probably 70 years old, you know, an old war vet. And there was a trans guy coming into his store and he's like, you're fucking crazy. Get out of my store. He's like, I don't want you in my store. You're just fucking insane. He's like, well, you have to accept me for who I am. He goes, you're a man. He goes, you don't even look like a woman. He goes, who would we even want to be with you? You look like a man in a dress. There's nothing attractive about you. He's like, what is wrong with you? You have mental illness. And they won't even acknowledge that point, that there has to be some mental illness involved in this. Instead,
that is a lot.
You're a bigot or you're a racist or whatever, transphobe, whatever they want to call you, for calling them out for their insanity.
It's, I mean, the premise of the TV show MASH, there was a whole storyline dedicated to like a guy wanting to leave
Klinger.
The war.
What was
or dressing like a woman because that would get him out on the premise of being mentally unstable. Like that's real world. That's the reality. That's the real life. And this thing now, like, I don't care what people do. If they want to, like, they want to be Bruce Jenner and wear women's underwear and then change and do whatever they want to do, do it. Go have fun behind closed doors. Do whatever you need to do to feel good about yourself. If you have that level of mental illness, go for it. Just be you. But you push that on the kids, or you tell me that I'm a bigot because I don't use your pronouns. there you go. I can't accept that. And I'm not a transphobic for that. I won't accept it to be pushed on my kids or pushed on me to have to call myself a birthing person or like use certain pronouns. Like, you're a dude, you're a dude. I'm going to call you he. That's it.
Exactly.
And it's ironic too, because you see it in the army now, in the military, well, specifically the
Navy. Oh my God.
The Navy.
There's a shocker. It's the Navy out of all.
Right. You know, I mean, come on. They've got a reputation to
the queerest of all armed forces, but it's hilarious. And no offense to any Navy guys. My brother was in the Navy and so was one of my better friends, but at the same time,
it's always a joke. Yeah.
So let's call a spade here. But
don't
yeah.
you think this is kind of like the lowest common denominator to talk about it in this way, though? Right? I mean, it's not about changing people's genders, honestly. It goes a lot deeper than that, I think. It's pedophile shit is really what it goes to. And and I actually talked about this today, dude, like talking about like the last episode that we did last week, right? Great episode. I think it was one of the best MNMDs that, like, you know, that have been out there. Did I say that right? MNMD? Monday Night Masturbator. Yeah. Yes, I did. So, you know, this whole idea, dude, of accepting homosexuality, and not only accepting it, and this is just me talking, this isn't anyone else here, because I know this is sketchy, because we a lot of us grew up in the 90s, 80s, 70s, whatever, right? This is, homosexuality is in my opinion, it's wrong. And I think that this adds to the crazy shit that is going on today. You accept gayness, you accept homosexuality, and then that accepts transgenderism. And then that transgenderism accepts pedophilia.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys have heard of the False Memory Syndrome Foundation, right?
No.
So you haven't heard of the False Memory Syndrome. Okay. So this is a wild foundation, basically started in the 90s, 1992. This foundation was started by this guy. His name is eerily similar to Freud. It's F-R-E-Y-D, Freud. And he started this foundation talking about false memories that kids have when they're raped. And they totally discredited these kids because his daughter said that she raped him. Yeah, if you scroll down to the bottom, this foundation was disbanded in 2019. Scroll all the way down to the bottom there. After 27 years, the FMS Foundation dissolved in December 31st, 2019. This was provably connected to MKUltra. All the board members were connected to MKUltra. Mm-hmm. And there's these people that were connected to this family out of California that produced a magazine called Finger Magazine. And this was a hardcore child pornography magazine that was published in fucking LA. It was sold on fucking street corners. So this is not something new. There's articles, and there's one article that was written that said, talking about my first rape, she was 13 years old, right? Like, that was one of the fucking articles that was posted on this Finger Magazine thing. I don't know how many issues were put out. I know at least three were. But it's basically a magazine about pedophilia. Everybody connected to this False Memory Syndrome Foundation talked about how every child that said that they were raped by their parents was lying. Not one of these people was telling the truth. Okay.
It's all guessing.
Dark shit here. And basically they built a culture dating back to at least the 70s that it's okay for parents to have sex with their kids. You have the horrible, horrible stories about people writing in saying, like, I wish that more people would talk openly about parents having sex with their kids because it's normal. One of the board members was saying that pedophilia is God's will because it's allowed to happen, right? It's shit like that. So this is not something new, but this is something that is progressing quicker and quicker. The transgenderism shit is a distraction. It's all about your kids. I don't have any kids, okay? They're targeting kids, and that's what the whole thing is. That's why. Why do you think it's fucking... Dude, Matt, if someone can come and try and persuade you to be a chick, you're not going to do it, dude. I'm not going to do it either. Rosie's not going to turn to a chick. Emily's not... Or I'm sorry, dude. Emily's not going to... Yeah, same thing.
Okay? Hell no.
Rosie's not going to turn into a dude. Emily's not going to turn to a dude. Janet's not going to turn to a dude, okay? That's the whole thing. They're targeting kids. That's the whole point. Sorry, Rosie. I'm having a couple Mike's hearts here.
You know, it is what it is.
You know what I'm talking about.
But they are. They're targeting the kids, and they're saying, like, now it's legal in many states for schools and doctors to initiate the hormone therapy as early as 8 years old without the parents even knowing. Yes. And I've seen accounts of people actually who I personally know who have talked about that there are programs going on in schools where they say, like, you cannot talk about what we're going to talk about here. But, like, who thinks maybe they don't know what gender they are? And this is for 7-8 year olds.
Well, and where is it coming from, Emily? Well, Disney, right? Nickelodeon, all these mind programming exercises.
Well, also, the Bill Gates has taken over and hijacked our education system, and it's coming into the schools. Like, for example, Matt, you talked about the program on Sunday, the holy day, for, you know, using it for inversion, mm-hmm. right? And this is all, for me, too, I see that it is tied to the you know, targeting the children, but also it's promoting completely that Baphomet agenda, mm-hmm. that inversion, that hybrid human, that being this new standard, the new cool, and they're manipulating an entire few generations, right? It's not even just the youngest generations, they're manipulating the 20-year-olds now too. Yep. And it's really just sliding us right into like the Satan control that's going on. And that's how I see it from my perspective. And they are targeting the children. They are trying to sexualize the children, and all those things that like we've heard about in history, or like really, no, I don't know if that's even true or not, right, Matt? Because like, who knows what part of history that we've been taught is true? But like, they're teaching these kids these things, and they're grooming these kids to do these things, and they're sacrificing kids, and they're mutilating kids, and they're inverting kids, and I don't know where it's going to end. Well, like, it's terrifying for me because it's going to create a whole generation of kids who are wrecked mentally mm-hmm. and physically. So 20 years from now, what are we going to see in society? Like, where are we going to be? Like,
yeah. And one of the crazy things is our buddies over at Operation Red Pill, they do this movie breakdown, and they did Marvel. And I know it blew my mind. I'm sure it did with you, Rye, about the whole inversion, about the whole thing being inversion. Well, they just this past week did one on Star Wars, and they brought to the table how essentially that is an inversion, and how, you know, you call Darth Vader Lord, the Dark Lord, and everything like that. And how, but their whole, one of the big points that stuck with me was when they were talking about this interview with George Lucas, and his point was, yeah, my movies aren't really for adults. They're for kids, because mm-hmm. they're easily, we want to get our message out there, and it's easier to get your message out to kids than it is to adults. And so they're right in there. They are showing you how they are targeting the children for this whole inverted world that they want to create. And this, it's really about separating you from your creator, so to speak, from the natural ways of life, you know, and
it's about separating you from your creator, Matt. And then also like not just like your metaphysical creator, but your literal creators too, your parents. Right.
Oh, well, that's what I was going to get into. Yeah. The family, yeah. Like, and then they started looking at Star Wars, and every character's from a broken family, mm-hmm. right? Luke doesn't have his parents, him, and he didn't even know Leia was his sister. He ends up having
kiss scene
with his sister. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's all this just weird shit that goes on.
Breaking all the rules.
Yeah. Look at all the Disney movies. I did a whole episode on it, and it's something like in the low, like 93% of them have child trauma in them. A vast majority of them are broken homes, or mm-hmm. you know, from a traumatic home life. And mm-hmm. they're constantly bombarded. Now, it's packaged nicely. They give you the nice song and dance and the colors and everything, so you're distracted. But the message, the heart of the message, is that inversion and that destruction of the nuclear family. And even Black Lives Matter came out and said that was one of their things they were going after, was the nuclear family. That was on their, you know, their whatever you call shit. Like when you start a business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The mission.
Yeah,
mission statement. Yes. Mm-hmm. That was it. That was part of it. It was to destroy the nuclear family. And it's like, mm-hmm. well, and that was celebrated up, down, and sideways.
Yeah. Why? Yeah. Why? For what? Because it goes against like the principles of God. Like whatever you believe, or whatever, you know, whatever you think of for what this is all for, what our creator is, and all of that. Everything that's going on now and has been going on for the last, you know, at least 20 years is to invert all of that. Right. So there's, for me, that was proof to me that there's got to be something to believe, because the evil is coming in and taking over and inverting everything. That there's got to be something more that we really should be paying attention to and looking at for what is the true purpose of being here, why we're here, what's going on, what's happening with our souls, all of that. For me personally.
I'm with you. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a whole, it's the natural law versus synthetic. They want us to live in this synthetic world. Mm-hmm. Where that is easily controllable, It's easy to get you in a state of fear. It's, and you know, the closer we get to things like central bank digital currency and, you know, our, the ESG scores and all that garbage, you know, your carbon credits and things like that. They, you know, you even made a post, Emily, the other day about how New York State wants to ban or is working on an act to ban gas stoves. Mm-hmm. Well, gas, you can't shut off gas, you know, in someone's home, but you can shut off their electric.
They're going after dishwashers, I saw today. I'm like,
yeah, for less water usage.
Yeah.
So what? Now we're going to get bacteria on our dishes and end up sick and need a vaccine to get us out of it?
Well, yes, because the trend now is moving all the vaccinations to the mRNA. And so, of course, you remember when Biden said he was going to cure cancer? And then what do we have that's already been in the pipeline for a while? A cancer vaccination.
And again, also, where are they going to target those vaccinations? The children, mm-hmm. right? They're going to add more to the kids list in order for them to be able to do things, right? If you want to go to public school, if you want to do this, you want to do that. They're just going to keep, and that's all they're doing. Everything they're doing, and a lot of people don't see this. They call mm-hmm. us crazy for saying this shit, but they're going specifically at our children. They don't care about us. We're mm-hmm. we're beyond control at this point. And we're just a nuisance to them. But the children, that's, and it only takes one generation. If they can get mm-hmm. one generation in, then it just rolls right through.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Like, focus. Like, anytime someone talks about one of these, like, right or left issues, mm-hmm. see how that ties in with the kids. And see, like I said, dude, I don't have any kids, man. I have a sister that's, you know, she's 19 years old now. That's the youngest person that's alive that I would die for at this point, like for a specific person, right? But dude, all you guys, you know, you guys got people that are younger than that you'd die for, right? Like, you and those are the people that you have to try to relate every single issue that they're fucking trying to distract you with, whether it's, you know, the alien balloons that are out there or whatever the fuck is going on. Who cares? Dude, how does this relate to these kids and their friends and all these people that are that same age that don't have anyone that looks after them and that thinks about that like that? Mm-hmm. I think that's the most important thing, man. These kids, dude, like, after reading that shit that I was reading about, that this stuff's been going on since this country's inception and obviously long before this, right? Mm-hmm. But we can actually do mm-hmm. something about it right now. And I think it's just so important, dude. I think that's the only fucking thing. That's the only thing that's important. I don't care if I die tomorrow. I don't care, you know, if you know, any adult out there dies tomorrow. What can we do for these kids that are trying to come up in this world right now when they're being pulled every which way that, you know, they don't know what the hell is going on unless they have any kind of guidance? So, yeah, I would say any political issue. Whether it's abortion,
are you seeing a lot of that in upstate, Rosie?
Not as much. So, like, you know, I don't see a lot of the trans stuff being pushed, you know, which is nice. Like, I when you guys were like talking about like the shows and stuff that go on at schools, I think we were talking about that before. I don't like none of that is being pushed, thank God, because the minute any of that shit would be pushed, like, I'm ready to homeschool like that. So, I don't know what's going to happen when Leo turns 10, because that's the next round of vaccines, because we're not doing it anymore. Like, we're done, you know? However, no, we're not seeing a lot of these weird agendas, but we don't hang out with those kind of people either. So I don't know. But what's important to note is, yeah, it's being pushed on the kids. But like Ryan's saying, the foundation comes at home. But I see a lot of, like, weirdo parents that would push this, and they are easily manipulated, these parents,
right?
So it does, of course, start with the kids, but I don't know, like, for these parents to go along with what these kids want, that's not normal. There's something going on with these parents mm-hmm. too that's completely off. So they're getting infiltrated somehow too, you know.
No, they're pushing it to the parents that have that need to want to belong.
Yeah,
have that need to want to be part of the cool kids.
Right.
And so they're pushing it to the kids. They're pushing it to the parents of like a certain political persuasion or like a certain belief persuasion, whatever it is. And they're pushing it so hard that these parents are completely taking like what the what is being taken and teaching it to their kids. Then they're thinking like, yes, this is the right way because I'm a justice warrior. I care so much about trans people's rights and like whatever. Like I care about trans people doing their thing, whatever they want to do, the same as I do my thing the way I want to do, but I'm not going to teach it to my kids. Like I'm not going to. But there's people who are like, no, they're, you know, I hate these extremist people who are not going to teach it to their kids. So I'm going to go forth and teach it to my kids. And then that's how it just snowballs from there. And like where I live personally, there's not this happening, but the minute it happens, I'm prepared to homeschool. Like it's we're fortunate in the school that we're in where they don't believe in this stuff, but the minute it starts to infiltrate, we're done. But like, I live in Wisconsin and in Illinois, it's happening. It's so mm-hmm. close. Right over the border. It's right here. It just depends on like what the people in power and political power are, you know, being paid to promote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I believe you that you live in Wisconsin. It's on your shirt.
Yeah, I'm representing.
yeah. But I mean, so dude, I watched this movie last night, right? And you guys have heard of it. They Live. Okay, great movie. Great fucking movie. I've seen it for like this is like the 20 plus time that I've seen this. And they talk about just that. In the movie, like why there are certain people that get sucked into this beast system, and they're good at what they do. These people that run it, they're very good. We can't sit here and think that the government is incompetent and that they can't keep a secret, like with 9/11, right? When you hear people that say, how would 9/11 be able to be pulled off when the government can't do anything right? They can do everything exactly how they want to do it. Think about the Gulf of Tonkin. Think about every false flag that's ever gone down mm-hmm. in the United States history. Mm-hmm. There's thousands of people behind this. And there's people, these are people that believe in the mission. And these are people that are, they don't need to really be coaxed into doing the quote unquote right thing. These are people that just believe. So yeah. You see these people in They Live, they say, we take like an average person that graduates, you know, with a 2.0 grade average from or GPA from whatever college. And we take them and we focus on them and we move them up through the system. We give them raises here and there. And then all of a sudden they're making so much money compared to what they thought they were going to make as a kid. They're making $100,000 a year. That's good money for somebody that was like, I'm just trying to make it in life, right? So they're making $100,000 a year. Now they just want to make sure that they continue to get that paycheck every single week or 2 weeks or whatever. And they're just in it. That's what, I mean, they say that in that movie. It's a goofy movie. But dude, that is legit shit right there. When people are part of the system and they've gotten used to sucking on that tit, they're going to stay right there. You know what I mean? It's scary to get out of that system, man. I encourage everyone to try it.
It's easier to go along than it is for people to question. So a lot of those parents that are okay with genital mutilation of their children, or, you know, the hormone therapies that have lifelong, you know, detrimental effects on their health. These are the same people that have, as a broad blanket statement, like no critical thinking skills. So they can't even decipher right from wrong for themselves. So those people are so easy to target. And all of that stuff it's available like through your medical records, your diagnosis codes, all of that stuff. It is fair game for hackers or, you know, government entities, whoever wants the information, and they know exactly who to target and mm-hmm. how to target them.
And most of these people, Jen, are highly educated.
Yeah.
Highly educated, which means they're good at following instruction, right? Mm-hmm. And they're good at fitting into the box. Mm-hmm. It's the folks that don't, that end up getting a job out of high school and don't follow through and keep going into this system that are the ones who end up causing a problem. It's like, I love the movie Demolition Man because mm-hmm. it's, you know, a look at the dystopian future, but you have, you know, Edgar who Edgar Friendly, who's underground, and he's the one who leads the people, and he wants no part of the nonsense. And he's like the guy, he's the critical thinker. He's the one who breaks everything down. And the rest of these people are just living in this dystopia, but they're happy because they're safe, because they don't have to think about anything. They don't have to worry about, everything's taken care of for them. It's this nice sterile environment. But the problem is that there's no creativity. There's no uniqueness. It's the most boring and unthoughtful society that you can have. And I don't think there's anything lower than people who lack critical thinking skills.
Agreed.
Yeah. Yep. I know.
That's very true. And if you think about the education system like that, when you say people are highly educated, that just means they're highly manipulated. Think about what colleges and universities are doing today. And they even did to me when I went through the system, you know, like the curriculum is very subtle about teaching you, like, you are above the line. You're doing all these things and you're learning all these things because you can, you know, handle it. And then at the same time, they're manipulating you into thinking that you need to be a social justice warrior. You need to do certain things or feel certain things or say certain things. And they put certain curriculum in front of you that makes you think, okay, yeah, this is the way, this is the truth. And then, like, actually, you've just been manipulated into thinking something that will go with an agenda that's coming. It's very interesting. Like, that's what I noticed when I was in college, you know, back in the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s. And like, it's very, very interesting how I feel like that education did nothing to me but try to indoctrinate me. You know, it didn't do anything to, like, actually further my career. Everything in my career has been just because of, like, what I learned through work and doing things has nothing to do with my education, but my education really did try to indoctrinate me. And I see that very clearly now.
Well, and it's funny you say that, because I'm in basically a college town out here in Massachusetts, and you see it. Like, there are still some of these perfectly healthy college kids wearing masks because they have been brainwashed, and now they're signaling to everyone else, you know, that they're in with you. You don't have to worry about me. I'm part of the team, you know. And it's disturbing, because this is that next generation, and you can obviously tell that they are highly manipulable, and they're easily targets for what they want to do. And when it comes time for them to have kids, their kids are going to be prey. And that's the shittiest part about it. And that's one of the reasons why I coach, is because I think one of the things that we have to do as adults is show these kids how to be strong. Show these kids how to question things and ask questions, because just to obey orders, it's not going to get you anywhere. It may get you a monetary satisfaction out of life, but quality of life is going to be piss poor when you think about what is all the options that are out there, all the great things that are out there that are automatically shut out of their world, because they're trapped in this, you know, matrix, so to speak, this synthetic world where everything is manipulated.
I think it's important too to teach them the old thing, you know, there's consequences for your actions, instead of, we're going to codify you. Oh, you're having a bad day. We'll take a mental health day. You don't need to come to school today. Oh, you're having, you're sad and you don't want to get out of bed. Oh, you don't have to come to work. You know what I mean? So instead of progressing through this codification that we've had going on for such a while now, you know, we need to go backwards. Basically, like, I wish things were like they were when I was growing up. Yes. And fuck around and find out you do something wrong, your parents are going to whoop your ass with a switch, or, you know.
Yeah. Well, one of the things
around you or whatever, instead of now where it's like nothing.
One of the things that I despise is the concept of participation trophies.
Yeah, same.
Right. And so I heavily push on these kids. Yeah, it's great that you show up, but you don't get rewarded for that. What you get rewarded for is showing up and putting in effort. Yeah. And that effort and that persistence and that consistency of doing things over and over. And not just being satisfied and expecting a reward because you showed up.
Right.
Bullshit. That's not how it should be. Mm-hmm. And there's too many people that, because what do you become then? Then you become dependent. You become weak. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just because you expect, oh, if anything hard happens, I'm just going to shut down because I was there. I try, you know, I went. That should be good enough, right?
They want us all to be weak, though. Mm-hmm. They want our kids to be weak now. They want us to be weak. Thank God I think we're all in the same sort of generation area where we did not grow up weak-minded individuals.
Right.
And absolutely. Thank goodness. I think that carries over to our kids because I think they're probably all tough cookies. I know, you know, I'm having issues just with them in school because they don't listen because, like, you know, the authority thing for them is, you know, but
with our kids, I get that too. You know, and they don't like what someone. I got a call from the school because my son was talking about chemtrails in class.
Yes,
He was explaining the kids on the playground what they were seeing, and I was like, he's not wrong.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Like, no, our little guy said Nico's wrong. A conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, it's so funny though.
During the parent-teacher conference, she's like, "So we have a couple issues." Wrong? Right.
Why is it wrong for a kid to sit there and say, like, that's coming from the government when they look up at the chemtrails, mm-hmm. but they can look at, like, the fucking rocks and say some crazy, like, those were left behind by fairies or something, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's so crazy, why can't a kid just talk about it?
Yeah, I told my son to ask his teacher, what are straight clouds? Because we weren't taught about straight clouds growing up. So ask your science teacher, what are those straight clouds in the mm-hmm. sky that come up every day out of the back of airplanes? Because they weren't there when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. And depending on where you travel, like we were in Florida just a little bit ago, and there were some chemtrails, but other days there were none, and there were real clouds. And my kids were like, are those the real clouds you were talking about? Like, it's so sad because here in Wisconsin, it's just chemtrails every day. It's like the sky is beautifully blue and clear and perfect in the morning. And then as soon as you get to about 1 o'clock, you've seen all the lines in the sky and then there's just a cloud cover. And it happens every day. And when we were in Florida, they were like, look at those clouds. Those are incredible. And I'm like, that's how it used to be every day. Like, mm-hmm. I don't mince words. I don't try to pretend like I tell them exactly what's going on. And I remember my daughter being like, it just makes you not want to breathe the air. And I'm like, yes, but also there's things you can do to mitigate it. There's detox things you can take and other things to try to get the chemicals out of your body and all of that. So we talk about all those things. And I think that's so important because it's the reality of the world we live in. And if they carry that on into school, I'm actually happy about it. So when the teacher calls and I'm like, what's wrong about it? What do they actually say that's wrong? Maybe it goes against your curriculum and your science, but
are they being disrespectful? You know, are they doing anything to harm any other kids? No, they're asking a question or they're mm-hmm. making statements.
Yeah.
You know, so get over it. And that's the other thing. These teachers are so soft that they don't know how to deal with kids mm-hmm. that don't fall in line. And I deal with that on a regular basis. My son's principal won't even call anymore. It's a beautiful thing because I just don't take her crap anymore. I'm like, you're an educator. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be able to know how to deal with kids. Mm-hmm. I'm like, these are kid things that they're doing. I said, is he hurting anybody? Is anyone at risk because of what he's saying or doing? Then get over yourself. You know, it's so disgusting.
You're just mm-hmm. offended, lady, because it goes against your beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
That's what your problem is.
Or it goes against your paycheck, you know, and that's the thing. So many people are driven mm-hmm. by money. So like, it's important for parents to keep that, to not bow down to the pressure of what's being, you know, when they try to change certain things that we talk about or change certain things that we teach at home, like what comes in at home should be their foundation and school should be secondary. And if they question it or if it clashes, too bad. You know, I'm not going to change what I talk about at home.
Well, and here's the other thing. The school mm-hmm. system is fucked.
Yeah, it's so fucked.
Why have kids sit for that long? I mean, come on. I have a 10-year-old kid. You expect him to sit there for 45 minutes straight and not fidget, not get restless, and just sit there and pay attention? I'm like, you're out of your mind.
Well, and how many adults can actually sit there that long and not ever move and not ever, you know, look away?
It's true. We're all there too.
We can't do it.
I play around with my water every 10 minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get on a conference call for work and it's like, if it's an hour long, I'm like, oh shit. I'm like, I'm going to have to find something to do after. I need 5 minutes afterwards just to get up, go outside, get some fresh air, mm-hmm. walk around. Because I start doing the same thing, Emily. I'll be grabbing my cup. I'll be clicking my pen. You know, you'll see me here. I can't sit still. Like, it's
Instagram not posts natural. Come from meetings. They're during my work day. When I'm doing meetings, that's when I do my best Instagram. You know, like I'm literally with my camera off multitasking with Instagram.
I got to say, too, these educators, like especially like children's educators, they're so smug. Like they think that they are shaping the future, right? Mm-hmm. Like so it's true. Crazy how like when you talk with them and they're like, well, you don't understand how tough it is to babysit children and read from a book and tell them what you see in the book. Mm-hmm. It's such an easy fucking job. And, you know, I know teachers and shit like that. And I'm not intentionally trying to make teachers feel like shit. But man, your job's fucking easy. Like it really is an easy job. You're following rules, right? And that's the problem, is the rules are so flawed that these teachers are just regurgitating bullshit. Any teachers that are offended, you can DM me. If you think that I'm wrong, I can do your job better than you, 100%. With no college education.
You're not.
Yeah. Have them DM you about the moon landing, and then you can go from there.
I mean, anything, literally any subject I can learn overnight better than your 8 years in college or whatever has taught you, because I know how to like look into things myself. Mm-hmm. These people, they're just following systems. It's a very, very easy thing to do. This new thing that I'm working with, this new company, they asked me to write articles for things, and I can do it in 30 minutes. And when I write these 30-minute articles, they're like, how did you get this information? I'm like, well, you know, it's pretty easy to get the information. It's all out there. It's just a matter of looking into it. So, mm-hmm. you know, you just have to kind of think outside the box, just the tiniest margin, and you'll come to the conclusion that's actually like the most beneficial for everybody. But they just, you know, teachers and all these people that are part of the system, they don't know how to do that, man.
Well, and that's the thing, and I agree with you completely, because I taught college for quite a long time, and it's like the other teachers would get so irritated because like all of my students would pass state board exams, and they're like, what are you doing different than what we're doing? And I'm like, I don't follow your lesson plan. I do my own thing, and I tell them things that they don't find in the book. I, you know, teach them word roots and things like that so they can recognize stuff. And I used to like make them play games. Like I'd make up like Jeopardy games or make them act out stuff or whatever so that they would actually remember. And it's not about memorization. It's something that like, if I make up a stupid song or a stupid poem, when they go to take an exam or something, they're like, oh my God, it's that stupid song she used to sing all the time. And well, here's what it is. And this is what it means.
Cause how many people remember stupid fucking songs?
Right.
Right.
Think about all the TV jingles you remember.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
Charles in charge.
Yeah. And that's the thing about is like how
that is the most random one ever.
Oh, that is so random.
And that was back in the day. Yeah. But that's the thing, is like teaching them on their level and to, you know, teaching them critical thinking stuff. Like if you do this, what's going to happen outside of that, instead of memorize these 12 lines on this paragraph and read them back to me.
People, if you don't, you're going to fail. It's
Yeah.
You teach someone how to think. You teach someone how to draw their own conclusion. That's a real education. You teach them 100%. How to memorize. Teach them how to memorize. They're learning nothing but
nothing.
Creating synapses in their brain that teach them to be very moldable for other people. You know, for the news and for Anderson Cooper and for all those people who just like regurgitate things that they're told to tell them that they are going to then absorb. That's all that does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most of you know, Nico was a
Rockefeller Nico was, education system, right?
Yes, exactly.
What was that, Rosie?
I was going to say Nico was a teacher and he had to leave because he couldn't bear teaching the children things that you guys are saying, just the common core bullshit.
Right.
You know, and if anyone steered off and got creative, he thought it was great, he would get in trouble for giving them an A or whatever. He was like, it's bullshit. I can't do it anymore. And he was a seventh grade teacher. You know, I mean, that's talk about like the worst of the worst. I can say that because I have a seventh grader, but also the most moldable, like you want to get in there. And he was an amazing teacher, but he's like, I can't do it because it's heartbreaking.
It's funny too, because like what I was teaching, like the kids that I would have, they couldn't do, you know, simple math, like 2 + 2. They couldn't write properly, couldn't read properly, because we have this no student left behind thing, you know, and we have to pass them all. And mm-hmm. and they couldn't do like the simplest task. And I'm like, you're a college student, you're looking for a medical career, and you can't do these simple things. Mm-hmm. And so like reading the papers that they would write, it was like written in text speak, you know, with the weird abbreviations mm-hmm. and whatever. And I'm sitting there with my red pen, doodling all over stuff, going
to them all.
What the hell is this? Okay. Hand your paper back to me when you actually write this out in a language that is the English language. You know?
Yeah.
I love how those Beetlejuice memes are going back around. Remember Beetlejuice?
Yeah. Oh my God.
When he's like, if you dig a 6-foot hole, how deep is the hole? And he's like, about 20 feet. It's so funny. That's what like the average, you know,
that college is.
Graduate is, you know mm-hmm. what I mean?
100%. You're right.
Wow. The biggest waste of time, college. Oh my God. I forget it. If I could do it over again, I wouldn't do it.
Well, give this money. They just set you up for debt. They're setting you right up for being understood that you can, you know, owe money to some sort of bank, some sort of whatever it is, some sort of institution. And it's just setting you up to be completely defeated once you're finally free, so that you mm-hmm. have to be enslaved another time, right? For your job, for your work, or if you're, you know, a doctor, then you're going to be like, well, I've got, you know, almost $1 million in medical school debt and undergrad debt. So maybe I need to incentivize people to take certain things or do certain things so that I can get paid, so that I can mm-hmm. keep my job and keep my mouth shut, even if I don't believe in it, because I need to pay off my loans. I need to go for that lifestyle that I envisioned for myself when I first went to medical school. And that's where you get down that really, really slippery slope, you know, mm-hmm. especially yeah. when it comes to impacting other people.
Hey, those doctors are the ones mm-hmm. that are cutting off people's legs and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. A fucking yacht too.
Like, well, and the problem with that is they will, the system will allow you to take $200,000 worth of debt for college, mm-hmm. but you can't get a $20,000 loan to start right. your own small business.
Right.
Yes.
That's how fucked it is.
Because you would be successful if you did the yeah. business.
Exactly. Yeah.
They're banking on you not system. Being successful. So you'll be one of their worker drones.
Right. Yep. Exactly.
And just be molded into conformity.
Now, when you guys grew up, so college was like, I had to go. There was like yeah. no, like, if mm-hmm. I didn't go to college, everyone was ashamed of me in my family.
Loser, right?
Such a loser. Mm-hmm. Like, right. and so I had no option. And then it was like, I just tried to do things to get out of it all the time. Like, I also went to school for art, like painting and stuff. So like, I'd be like, yeah, I have to go to like I want to really go to Ireland this semester to study. You know, I didn't give a shit. I was just like, I got to get out of this, right? So mm-hmm. finally, it was like, I think I was there for like 5 years because I just couldn't take, on my fifth year, I just left. I didn't even end up graduating because I just got a really good job, you know? Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. I talked to my grandfather one day and I was like, listen, you're a businessman. Like, you came here from like Italy with like nothing, you know, mm-hmm. you didn't go to college, you know? And he's like, yeah, it's a different time. And I was like, it's all right. Like, don't worry about me. You know what I mean? Like, I know it's a different time, but like to put that pressure, like mm-hmm. I never want to do that to my kids. You know, I never want to do that because it was a waste of my time, mm-hmm. honestly. And I'm sure you guys, some of you might agree.
Started with the boomers, Rosie.
The right. boomers, man, right. like they are just, oh, you know, that's where it's
started, you're right. Because our parents are all, I mean, probably our parents are all boomers. Mine,
yeah,
you know,
not it's to like, play devil's advocate too much, but like, don't you think that the people that came over here, like your grandpa, Rosie, like that must have been some wild pressure too? Like, starting yeah. a new fucking life. I mean, there's pressure for all these people. The difference is, seems like that generation could rise to the occasion on the pressure, yes. but we're a bunch of pussies. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
They including, you know, their motivator. Our, yeah.
I'm sorry, Emily, what was that?
No, they took the pressure and made it their motivator.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're like, fuck it. I got nothing to lose. Let's just go mm-hmm. for it.
Right.
Like a lot
I got
of
a quarter. I'm going to do this. Yeah. Cause I only got a quarter in my pocket.
They were awesome, but that was our grandparents, right? Of our generation, which I look up to. But our parents, that's another story because they're just like even the other day, well, maybe this morning, I think my mom said, my son was talking about college, my older one. And he's like, I don't even really want to go to college. And my mother's like, oh, well, you know. And I'm like, don't, I'm his mom, first of all. Don't push that. He wants to be like an electrician. You know, and I'm like,
you don't need college.
There's a lot of millionaire electricians.
Better. You know? He could be a business owner and be an electrician or work for somebody and have a great career, make great money.
And make a hell a lot.
And I'm like, pushing that like, for him.
It's like what you were saying with Leo, how he wanted to be a plumber because of Mario. And it's like, go for it, dude.
They make good money, too. Money
being a plumber.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm like the Pleatsy Property Brothers, you know, let's do it. And like, you know, that, well, talking about a good movie was the Mario movie with no agenda.
That was very good. Yeah.
Did you saw it, too? It was awesome. Yeah, it was so just like refreshing to like relive like those video games again, even though, you know, they had like that old school part where it was like the 80s, like video game in there. It was just so cool. I don't know. There was no agenda to it.
And it also taught like that entrepreneurship, like actually can go somewhere. You can actually do something if you have the right heart, the right agenda. And like, that's the thing, like, and my kids and I have actually been talking about like, what if we open like a restaurant or like a pizzeria or something that they can take on? Like we can use the family money and like put into something that they can create so they don't have to go to college and get into corporations and be paper pushers and do those things. And they can like cultivate it on their own with their own advertising and all that stuff. And we just like spitball these ideas and talk about all these different things because they are already seeing maybe college isn't the answer because what's it going to do? Put us into corporations. What is that? A slave to the government, you know? And and they see that because they see what I do. Like I do that from my home, you know, and I work from home, but I work for a giant company, you know, and while I have flexibility because I work remotely, I'm still a slave to that system for the money, you know?
To whoever's point that said like the I think it was you, Rosie, that was saying that the you know, our parents' generation was kind of the problem. I definitely agree with that. They're the generation that thought that Bill Gates is a fucking genius, right? Yeah, I mean that is a problem to be there. And Janet, I know that like that's kind of your generation more or less. But there are these.
Because I'm like the mom of the group. No, there's no shame in that.
Well, there's no shame in that.
The thing is, what they wanted to do was make life easy for us, right? And that's what it. That's part of the problem. Is they want life to be easier for your kids. You don't want them to struggle like you had to. But
they got duped into.
Like we went back to the grandparents. Is what makes you who you are.
Right. What I'm saying though is like there's no shame for the generation as a whole. There's outliers, right? There's people that are like you, Janet. Like you don't fucking fall in line with the bullshit. There, like I remember when I first asked my mom who Bill Gates was, my mom told me he's the smartest man in the world. You know what I mean? Like when I was a child.
That was in the textbooks for me in the 80s growing up. That was in my textbook. Who is Bill Gates? He is the smartest man in the world. And
he's also the greatest doctor in the world.
Yes. And the best farmer. And
you should trust him because
so that's the thing.
He's so smart and they indoctrinate you that way.
That's the thing. It's not the generation. Maybe I misspoke. Maybe it is the generation as a whole, but there are all these outliers where, you know, my mom has started to understand all this shit, right? Janet, you saw the education system from like the worst side possible, and you've ended up, you know, being able to turn this into something very positive. And there's a lot of people that are doing that now, but like what is this generation, right? Like not my generation, our generation or whatever, but like the generation that's growing up right now, coming into their teens, what are they gonna do, right? I think that's an important thing to where we really pound it in their head, like, no, Bill Gates is not the smartest man in the world. It's really hard to quantify who is the smartest man in the world because it's no one that endorses NASA. It's no one that you're going to see on TV, right? That's, I think, a really important thing to tell people, but it's just so hard because the system is working against that.
Yeah.
Who's the smartest person in the world? Anybody that has critical thinking skills.
Yeah. Truthers, right here.
There you go. Maybe it's a collective of people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's no one person. So yeah, it's tough. It's tough, man. I do not envy people that have kids, but I'm on your side, man.
It's entertaining. It's fucking hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a circus every goddamn day.
Yeah. And it's fun trying to reverse, like for me, because ours are older, reverse the college indoctrination, you know? And so they'll be chitter chattering about something and I'll be like, well, actually, would you like me to tell you the truth about, you know, X, Y, and Z or whatever? Or like, I always have to pipe up and say something and they're like, mom, and then they get really frustrated at me, but they know I'm not going to stop, you know? But yeah, reversing that whole learning curve they have is sometimes challenging.
Yeah. What's most challenging is when you have like an ex, I don't know, that believes in opposite things that you believe in.
Right.
And so they have to go visit there and then they come home completely confused because they've been indoctrinated, you know, like all weekend long. That's what I have to do with my oldest all the time. It's like, oh my God, like it just never ends. It's like, can't he just be new? Why can't we just be neutral? Then let's just be like, let's not talk about stuff. But things are just pushed down his throat so much that when he comes home, he's like, I don't know what to believe, mom. I don't know what to believe. Because of course, one of your parents is telling you one thing and your other parents telling you another. That's confusing. So yeah, it's parent, being a parent's the hardest thing in the world, but it's great. Yeah. I love my kids, but damn, you know, you just want everything to be okay.
Yeah, this world is definitely crazy. But like,
yeah,
for with my kids, like they're only seeing their father now more than they ever have before. So they trust my opinion more. So they actually educate him. So when he tries to say like, no, don't say that about chemtrails, it's not true. They're like, Dad, what do you see? Like,
yeah,
look up in the sky. Those are not passenger planes.
Right.
Like, Google it. Like and they'll come back and tell me that they're like, we had to tell Dad and he got mad. And I'm like, at least you spoke your truth. Like, you will see it. You get it. You know what's going on. Like, I keep using the chemtrail explanation, but like, it's just very funny that it's just very, very interesting how that played out in my situation. Thank goodness, because they see their truth and they're willing to defend it even to their father, and they love their father. And I love that they spend time with him. Like, we have a great like co-parenting relationship or whatever, but like, it's just that one thing that he can't get past, and they will always, you know, stand up for themselves and what they truly see from facts, from what I show them. You know, I don't try to manipulate in any way the situation. I just say like, what do you see here? What do you see with this? Is this normal or is this not? And show them the different things.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is really nice.
Got to teach the parents a thing or two.
Right. Right. And I love that they're confident enough in what they know to stand up for that, you know, which is like, I love it every time I'm always like, they get it so much that they're willing to teach it, you know. And it's not like a who wins or who loses. It's more like, are they so confident in what they see and what they know, you know what I mean, that they and even my son, like, he shows me things that I've never seen before, like, because he's so researching and diving down rabbit holes. It's pretty incredible.
Good for them.
Yeah, it's great. What's going on? So well, let's talk about now. I'm just kidding.
Let me ask an awkward question then for the people that, you know, have kids and then split apart from the parents and stuff. I mean, do you regret being with that person because you got something so beautiful out of it?
That's all of us.
Yeah, I know, right? No.
I don't regret it, because like, if I regretted it, that would change the whole trajectory of their existence and like where they are, right? So no, I don't regret a minute of it at all. And it every time you're in these situations, it's just how you view it that can change the trajectory of how you handle it, right? So I look at it as like, well, wasn't a great situation, but now I'm happier than I've ever been. And my kids can feed off of that, and we can be very open and honest, and they trust me 100%. And now they get more time with with their dad than they have before. They don't, it's not 50-50, but they still see him more than they ever have in the past. So it's like, it's a win-win for everybody.
Mm-hmm. And it's the fact that they were brought into it with good intentions.
Right.
That's the whole thing. What happens down the road is what it is, but at the time they were brought into the family with the best of intentions. And, you know, once you have your own child, it's a game changer, you know, because that's something that is, you know, you will give your life for, and there's not much in this world that I would give my life for other than my son and my dog, really, you know, like my family is all I got. And whether it's with his mother or not, that doesn't matter. That's just shit happens. Right.
Yeah. Right.
As long as you're safe and happy, that's all that matters.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And yeah, for me, I was just going to say, like, for me, you have to be thankful for the good and the bad that happen in your life. And, you know, people come in for specific amounts of time, you know, and that's the way the plan is. So for me, I got like the most beautiful miracle out of the most miserable situation.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot from that. And, you know, thank God that it happened the way that it did, but I would never change a thing.
Yeah. Like I said, it may be a stupid question for someone like me to ask that doesn't have a kid. It just seems like, you know, there's good and bad to it. Right. And so that's why I asked.
I don't know. Right. I don't know how I would answer that, guys. I'm being completely honest.
Right.
But I'm coming off the cusp of a 2-year train wreck, you know?
Yeah.
But my son is also adopted, my older son. So would I have, I don't know. I always wanted to adopt a child. So I did. Would I have done it on my own? I don't know. You know what I mean? Maybe I, you know, who knows? But I can't answer that question. That's a good question. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. It's wild. And adopting is a crazy, it's a really, really, I mean, just like, it's a wild thing to do. It seems like it's in the best way possible, right? Yeah. Like it's, I'm not saying anything negative about it. It's just like, that's such a fucking commitment right there. So I mean, man, I want kids so bad. Like, I just don't know, like if I want to pull the trigger on that, so to speak, you know what I mean?
It will happen when you least expect it.
Yeah.
You're never prepared. There's never a right time. It's
my pullout game is strong, ladies. Okay. So that's what I'm saying. So it will happen when I least expect it. It's
next time we have a round table, someone's gonna tell us they're gonna be a dad. So
oh boy.
Right. No, I think it is it's just such a scary idea.
It is until you have it.
Yeah.
And then once you have it, it's life.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And that's why they say it's like it is life altering, because your whole focus change, everything changes. Mm-hmm. Like you look at everything differently now, because now you have, you know, and you have dogs, and it's not even relatable to that.
Right.
Like, think about what you would do for your dogs.
Right.
And now magnify that. I can't even put a number on it.
No,
dude, I beat the shit out of somebody for Z. Z got, he's passed away since. This dude fucking kicked Z when we had him as a puppy. Dude got fucking wrecked. Me and like 3 of my friends just beat the fuck out of this dude. So yeah, I can understand what you would do for a child. I'm in that camp of kind of wanting, like I'm torn, like I want to adopt a kid, but then like the monkey in me wants to like pass my genes on, you know what I mean? And I think it's just such a,
I did know both.
I could do both. Yeah, for both. Sure. It just seems like, you know, it's a, I don't know, both are just a really interesting thing. And like, I've gotten to this point where I'm like, man, I want to do something, you know?
I got to tell you, you don't like, it's the same love, you know? So
sure.
Yeah, but a lot of people do ask, and you know, that's something that gets brought up sometimes is, you know, is there a different love there or whatever? No, not at all. You know,
that's like, when kids are like, if you had to kill one of us, which one would it be?
Like, I used to ask my mom. Yeah. Yeah.
I got that question the other day and I was like, how could you even ask me
that? I used to ask my mom that as a 19-year-old and my sister was fucking 3. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's so funny.
I know. They're, but,
Ryan, like, I swear to you, like, with your mindset and your ability to like harness the truth and like see things for what they are, you could only bring a better human into this world. You know what I mean? By giving them the influence that you have for what you do and what you see and like the information that you provide, like, you could only shape a better future for this generation that's so fucked, you know?
Really? Yeah, I appreciate that. I would turn them into a fighter, by the way. I'd get them into wrestling like immediately. Perfect. And then boxing, and then probably some sort of other martial arts.
And what's wild, Ryan, is once you start seeing your traits in them, that just, it's like mind blowing. It's like, how does this other person do the same things that I do? You know? Yeah.
All the shitty little things that we do, all the shitty little
things. Like bad habits, you know, just little, it's the littlest things that you pick up and you're like, oh shit, that's me.
Yeah.
No, yeah. And also, though, even better, it's like when they're you, but better. And like, that blows my mind. I'm always like, and I said to my sons one time, we were talking, and I was like, it's like you're me and your dad, but better. And it's incredible. He was like, he had tears in his eyes for that. He was like, are you serious? He's like, because you're amazing. Dad's amazing. I'm like, no, you're a better version of us because we're teaching you what we learned wrong. You know, like, and it's that's the most, like, that part when you see like how you can look outside of yourself, if you've been in therapy or you do things to make yourself better, and then you project that into your kids and what you teach them and how you shape them, and then you see them take what they naturally have and take it from there to the next level that you didn't think was possible, it just fills you with this sense of pride, and it's just incredible. It's really incredible experience to see.
And on the other end of that, M, when you look at shitty kids, you see right away how shitty their parents are, and you feel bad for them because they had no shot. They were given no chance whatsoever. They were doomed from the start because they're
the bullies for the black hearts. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For sure. No, Ryan, you'll make a good breeder for sure.
Thanks. I mean, I'm so scared.
Your kids are going to be so entertaining.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. I know. Seriously.
I'm looking forward to that.
You got a support system. Let's go. We'll be your helpers. You know what I mean?
I appreciate that. Yeah. That's very sweet of you. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just scared. It's a scary thing.
It is scary, but like it's so scary until it happens. And then you're like, oh, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. Like, but I was always like, I could never be a mom. I'm not going to be a mom. It's not going to happen. I don't know that I can. And then I did, and it changed everything. And I love nothing more than what I do as a mom. You know, it's the best part of my life.
Yeah, for sure. I didn't think I used to have like a maternal instinct in me when I was younger. And then all of a sudden it just like came out really strong, but I didn't feel that. I was like, I'm never going to have kids. And I'm like, but I nurture everything else around me. So how do I not want to nurture my own children? I really think it was just fear, you know? Yep. And then it's like, but it's like, I think a lot of like, if you go through trauma as a kid or whatever, you know, it's like, oh shit, I'm just going to pretend that didn't happen. And I'm just not going to have those kids. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like that too. Yeah. But at the same time, it's so cool. And especially if you do experience stuff, if you have gone through some traumatic events in your life or whatever, you just protect like your mama bear, papa bear, like it just, you know, it amps it up even more.
And teach them, like, instead of sheltering them. Right. So like, like when my kids encounter like bad people or bad things, I don't just shield it from them. It's like, there's going to be shitty people in your life. There's going to be people that are definitely manipulate you and hurt you and do these things. So here's what you do when you encounter those people, and here's the things that you see that you can mitigate that, right? So that you can learn how to be stronger as a person and navigate your way through life. Like I don't sugarcoat that in any way, shape, or form.
Don't either. Yeah. And that's the funny thing. And I'm so glad you brought that up, because sometimes I'll have these discussions with people and tell them things that are going on, you know, with our kids. My daughter's older, she's a therapist, you know, and our son's in college now and whatever. And so they'll be like, oh my God, well, why didn't you step into that situation and like, you know, tell them to stop doing that or do something different? And I'm like, because they're never going to learn and they're never going to grow unless they have those experiences. And unfortunately, as a parent, sometimes you have to let them stumble and make mistakes on their own, or they're never going to grow up.
Yeah, you're not going to let them fall off the cliff.
Right.
Sometimes they got to take a bump here and there.
Yeah.
You know?
They got it. Yeah. Participation trophy thing. Right. Yeah. So like they have to learn there's a consequence to an action that they don't like. I mean, it just happened with mm-hmm. my son. Like there was a thing where he didn't care about a certain part of his curriculum. Mm-hmm. And then from there, like all of a sudden he couldn't do track for a week. Mm-hmm. And I said, and I knew it was going to come. And I'd said my piece, but I didn't force it. And then I said, do you remember when I said this? Do you remember when mm-hmm. we talked about this? And this is what happened. And that right. was so impactful that it'll never happen again. They have to fall in order to learn. They have right. to.
Right. And I think it's funny too, because I've always gotten criticism for people because my daughter and I have a very close relationship. And from yeah. like early, early age, we talked about sex, you know, these are things you're going to encounter, whatever. We have very, very mm-hmm. honest, open discussions. Like from a young age, because, you know, being a nurse, I'm seeing kids in our office that are like 10 that are pregnant. And so we started at like 6 having these discussions and introducing things. And it's funny because some parents are like, oh, my God, you should never have those discussions with your kids like that at that young age. And I'm like, I'd much rather do that and teach them about consequences than be a grandma when she's 10. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, for sure. No, I mean, I wish I was talked more about it with like my mom. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
My parents never did.
Forget it. But I feel like our relationship would have been so much better and closer. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like everything was just so like, we don't talk about that, you know?
Yeah.
We don't talk about that. So I don't know. And I went to like an all girls private Catholic school.
Same.
So I like mm-hmm. knew nothing like going right. to college. I was just like,
you were shamed for everything. You were shamed for
everything. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the funny thing too, is because our communication is so open that there's a lot of times she'll call and tell me something. And I'm like, ooh, TMI.
Right. TMI.
I don't want to hear that. And I'm very like calm and stuff when she tells me things, but there are some stuff I'm just like, ooh, cringe. Like,
yeah,
I didn't need to know mm-hmm. that, like in that detail. Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing, though.
My boys are unhinged with this already. And I'm like, you're 13, and the 6-year-old is just as bad. And I'm like, uh-huh. talk to your dad. You know, I'm your mom, for God's sake. What about you, Matt? Do you encounter any interesting conversations with your kid yet about girls? Or
he's still at that stage where if he sees like people kissing on gross. TV, he covers his mm-hmm. eyes and he's gross, like, this is disgusting. Yeah. I think I'm gonna throw up. Mm-hmm. Like, because somebody did a post about, you know, grooming and shit like that and about sexualization of kids. I'm like, I got a 10-year-old, and this dude mm-hmm. like, he's a good looking kid and there's girls that like him in his class and stuff, and he wants no part of it. And like I said, when we watch TV, if we watching a show and people kiss, even he's like, oh, it's so gross. He's like, I'm going to think I'm going to be sick. And it's like, so I'm like, all right, dude.
Good.
And
stay that way until you're in your 20s.
But you know what? When the time comes, I have no problem talking with him because we're real open about everything, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and I always bust his balls because I'm like, oh, you wait. Lover boy, I'm like, you're gonna be mm-hmm. all over the girls in a couple years. I'm like, you watch yourself. I'm like, but we're gonna have a talk about girls and mm-hmm. what girls are, because they can get you in a lot of trouble mm-hmm. and you can get yourself in a lot of trouble. So we're gonna have a chat about this when the time is right.
Yeah,
but so now
it's true. When the time is right, you need to be so frank about that, because that will teach him a world of knowledge, because mm-hmm. we were fighting blind, right? In our generation, right. We were fighting blind about, because our parents didn't want to talk about sex. They didn't want to talk about relationships. They didn't want to talk about any of that. They wanted to pretend.
Drugs, nothing.
Yeah.
You know what they did? They scared us with AIDS.
Yeah. Oh.
That's what they did. That's how they kept us away from sex. I remember in middle school, that was the big thing, was the whole AIDS thing. Yep. You're going to get AIDS if you have sex once, you know, or you're going to get pregnant if you have sex once. Like,
I remember not sleeping at night over AIDS.
Like, yeah.
Literally losing sleep, going into the work the day, and like my stomach being sick because of that. And I was like, in a relationship, you know what I mean? Like, and it's just so ridiculous what Dr. Fauci did, right? It was him again.
Yeah, because my parents taught me nothing. Like, nothing. There was no mention of anything in any sort of relationship, girls, sexual, nothing. It was all, you know, and then you get sex ed in like seventh or eighth grade, and that's an absolute joke. But there were, ironically, I mean, funny enough, there were like two or three girls in my eighth grade class that were pregnant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're just white trash. You know, that was the whole way that went around. That only happens to them. And it's like, no. And then we get to high school and there was like one of the cheerleaders got knocked up. And then it was a whole, then everybody panicked. Like the whole town went into panic because one of the golden children got knocked up at 16.
Oh my God.
In my day, the thing to worry about was nuclear bombs, and so hiding under a desk and things like that, like that was going to save us. Yeah. Yeah, that was the scare when I was a child.
Yeah,
way back in the dinosaur ages.
They got one of those every generation.
Yeah, exactly. Every generation has a different scare, but I have one thing to say that's going to like be a game changer for this generation, for us and for our kids. Look up, it's a natural contraceptive. It's called Neem, NEEM. Research it, because guys can take it and girls can take it. It won't change anything about their ability to procreate or anything like that in the future. But in the short term, it will absolutely change. The boys can take it and the girls can take it. It also helps with your gut health, everything like that. I take it. I haven't gotten pregnant since I wanted to. You know, so it's called NEEM. Hmm. And it's like, it's a very, very old herb that prevents you from getting pregnant. But when you stop it within 6 weeks, men can take it or women can take it to prevent pregnancy. And when you stop it within 6 weeks, you can conceive again. So look into that for your kids.
That's interesting. Does it stop your menstrual cycle?
No, it doesn't do anything. It actually helps balance your hormones, because it helps with your gut health. It helps. It's an antiviral, antimicrobial. It also helps balance like the bad bacteria in your gut.
And blood sugar.
So yes.
Interesting.
Yes. And men can take it solely, or women can take it solely, to be a contraceptive. So that is like the biggest, if you start digging into it, it's going to blow your mind.
Huh.
You never have to take a synthetic pill.
Wild.
That's because that synthetic pill, like, just ruined my body back in the day. Mm-hmm. You know, it ruined me, absolutely ruined my cycle, my everything, my whole balance. And once I discovered Neem, it changed everything. And there's a lot of science that backs it up. So for the listeners, for you guys, for whoever needs it, it's incredible. For our kids, I think, like, even for our sons, they can take it and not have to worry, you know.
Wow.
It's incredible. And nobody talks about it, but once you dive into it, like, there's so much research out there. Mm-hmm. There's so many studies. There's so many people who talk about what it's done for their lives and how they were like able to use it for 5 years and have two kids when they wanted to and not have kids when they don't want to. It's really incredible. And it's very easily available. It's not expensive.
That's great.
Wow.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. It's very, that's like, I really wanted to share that after this conversation.
We will put that in the show notes, a link to Neem.
Neem. NEEM. Yeah. It's like an Indian Ayurvedic, you know, herb. It's really great.
I've heard of that before, but I didn't know it did that. So that is.
It's got a lot of benefits.
Contraceptive, it'll blow your mind. What's out there and the research that's out there, and it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Well, on that note, this has been excellent. I think we're going to get out of here. let's go around and tell everyone where they can find you. And we'll start with you, Rosie, since you got to go last.
Okay. I'm Rosie from Upstate Unconventional, and you can find me at rosie.quartz_ on Instagram.
And thank you so much for coming, hon. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
And Miss Emily?
All right. So I'm on Instagram at Miss Emily. I don't have my own podcast about truth, but I do have an NFL sort of Packers-related podcast. My son and I have started. We did only one episode, but we're kicking it back up when the season comes back in. We were just talking about it today. So, and that is called the Pack Attack Podcast. But otherwise, you can find me on Instagram at Miss Emily. It's Emily with a B in the middle.
Yeah, I was hoping for an NFL draft show out of him.
We were going to do that. We talked about it, and then we just didn't get to it. But he's definitely like gung-ho about getting it started again now that the school year is kind of wrapping up and the stressors of school are winding down. So we'll kick back in coming into July. End of July, you'll see it come back in.
And he is not your average child when it comes to football talk. Holy shit, he blew my mind in that first episode you guys did. It was awesome. I was like, oh, I want more.
Yeah, he's really, like, he absorbs everything. And he's really, my conversations with him are like an adult. So, like, it's his podcast, I'm his sidekick, and it's going to be fantastic when it jumps off.
Oh, yeah, the points this kid makes are off the charts. I mean, yeah, he's better than those idiots, those dipshits at ESPN, that's for sure.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Miss Janet.
You can find me at Deplorable Nation on every podcast platform and then on Twitter at KnowJanet, KNOW, and on Instagram at DeplorableJanet.
And thank you for joining us. You're always a pleasure to speak with.
Thank you. So are you.
Big Rye, what do you got going on?
Just the same old stuff, man. Just another fun Monday here. I think this was a great episode. And nothing else, man. Just thankful to be on again. But what are you up to?
What's your store? Because I want to push those shirts. Your shirts are the best.
Your shirts are fire.
Oh,
they're so good.
Thank you. Guys are so nice. What is it? DangerousWorldPodcast.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Because I think I went to Dangerous World Pod and it's like all women's attire. I was like, what is this? This isn't what I want.
Jeez, they're just hijacking my shit.
Yeah. So I had to go to the link in your Instagram bio, your link tree, and I found it.
Yeah. Dangerous World Podcast. Yeah. I'm trying to add some tank tops and stuff in there too for the hot times, but. Yeah, man. You're just awesome, having fun.
I just ordered the women's one. That is a classic.
Yeah, broken several women's sports records. I actually ordered one myself. And because like I said, dude, I can beat I bet you I can beat a bunch of women's sports records if it just came. If I could just get a wig and just compete in some women's sports.
You look like the guys in that Bud Light commercial.
Yeah, I think I could get in there and I can really wreck some shit. I'm just not able to do it. But I got the shirt for all of us guys that want to get into women's sports and just aren't able to. So, yeah, it's a fun thing. But, yeah, what are you up to, Matt?
Nothing. I'm in baseball season. So that's going. We had Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Tonight's my only night off this week. And then we go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So it's like it's mayhem. So. For all the people that listen to the Great Deception show, it's going to be a minute. I'll get around to it, but there's just not enough hours in the day. But I love this time of year being with my son at the baseball field. And some dipshit commented, because I put pictures up of my son playing baseball so my mom and family can see since they're not up here. And some dipshit's like, you're the problem. You understand that's a Masonic game and you're supposed to be a truther and you're contributing to the whole... No. Bad mentality. And I was like, all right, go fuck yourself. Get out of here. Mm-hmm. It's like, dude, you don't even understand what sports do. I'm like, you're probably living in your parents' basement still, pissed off and jerking off to Pornhub. Leave me alone. So
yeah, fuck right off with that noise. That's ridiculous. Yeah. Like NFL, it's the same, but we gotta have something to learn from and rally around. I get it. That's horrible. And like just reduce that noise. You don't
I'm like, fuck you, dude. This is the, like, his happy place is to be out there with his friends. And I love being out there with these kids. And like I said, I use it to coach them, to actually lead them and try and shape them a little bit into being better humans and stronger humans and all that stuff. So
it's the best time of year. Enough, if they get it's good real enough, life. Then
it's actual real life.
If they get good enough, they can then later they can sacrifice the kids later, way later when they're pros. You know what I mean?
Later, kids are in sports.
And let them get my kids college go, education.
Kids
first.
I coached went pro. So, well, not pro, but they played in the minors. So it's like, and seeing how happy they were and they're well adjusted people, it's like, oh, fuck yourself with the whole Masonic bullshit. I get it. It was started by Masons, it has Mason tones. And then
everything that the whole country does.
Yeah, and then he gets into this promoting the whole us versus them, and I'm like, oh my god, yeah, you missed the whole team aspect, and you know all the whole all that shit. So I was just like, all right, I'm moving on. But
you can never win with these people, man. You never can. That's the whole thing. Like,
well, that's what I was saying. I'm like, well, I can't watch movies. I can't listen to music. I can't. There's no form of entertainment that is not.
Competition's bad. Don't be better at anything than anyone else.
Yep.
You know, all this shit. It's just like, it's a world full of fucking losers is what's out there. And, you know, there's people that are smart enough to listen to like good content and things like that. And those are the only people they need to care about. Fuck all these dumbasses that are out there.
Yep. I'm with you, brother. All right, guys. Well, thank you very much. This was another awesome ladies' night. We will definitely have to do this again. This is one of my favorite conversations. I love these. These are so much fun. With that, everybody stay strong and question.
Boys are boys from the beginning. Girls are girls right from the start. Everybody's fancy. Everybody's fine. Your body's fancy, and so is mine. Only girls can be the mummies. Only boys can grow up and be the daddies. Yes, sir, everybody's fancy. Everybody's fine. Your body's fancy, and so is mine. I think you're a special person. And I like your ins and outsides. Everybody's fancy, everybody's fine. Your body's fancy, and so is mine. Can you sing that with me?